and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John.
I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 2001, The Tyranny of Distance by Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. Every time I've had to put that in my notes, I've copied and pasted it. Just a little background. Ted Leo is an American singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. He is the frontman and lead guitarist for the rock group Ted Leo and the Pharmacist. While he was born in South Bend, Indiana, Leo grew up in Bloomfield, New Jersey, and spent many of his formative years in the hardcore punk scene in New York during the 80s and early 90s. Ted Leo and the Pharmacists were formed in 99 in DC, and the group recorded 6 studio albums between 99 and 2010. The Tyranny of Distance was produced by Brendan Canty, released in 2001 by Lookout Records, and features Ted Leo on vocals and guitar, James Canty on lead guitar, Pete Curlin and Alex Minoff on bass, Brendan Canty, James Canty, Danny Leo, Ted Leo, and Seb Thompson on drums. Must have been some interesting lineup changes in that time.
And I think I thought he largely kept the band together. I think when I saw him perform for The Hanged Man, was that last year or this year? Last year, it was largely the same band. I think it was the first time he'd performed with them in a while. Because, I mean, your notes only went up to 10. The Hanged Man came out last year, and it was his first album since 10.
Okay. The official Ted Leo and the Pharmacist band stuff goes up to 10, maybe.
Yeah.
I think he's solo now, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you know, that is...
He's officially solo.
That is the confusing part.
Playing with some people. Anyway.
I think the pharmacists actually play on it, so I think that's very confusing.
It's kind of like Tom Petty's solo album.
I think so, too.
Where it was technically a solo album, but like most of the Heartbreakers played on it.
In fact, his Spotify catalog is pretty tough to track down because he has stuff as Ted Leo, mm-hmm. and then there's stuff as Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, and then there's a weird album from before this that's like Ted Leo plus Pharmacist, or where Leo is misspelled or something like that.
Okay. Now on to the tracks finally. As I've said, as I try to remember to say every week, I don't edit tracks into any songs into the videos for copyright reasons. Down in the description, you'll find a link to the full album on both Spotify and YouTube. Starting with track one, Biomusicology. I'm glad I was familiar with the word musicology already when I hit this title. I like the beginning. It's kind of nicely atmospheric.
Oh, yeah. It's like this. He begins with the soundscape and the headphones. It gives the drums a more of a Celtic tribal sound than I am accustomed to with these headphones. At least.
And the vocals seem a little to the right to me. And yeah. I'm very picky about that. Vocals and bass and kick drum should always be in the middle. Whenever they're not, it always kind of bugs me. And I would say that the busy kind of surfy drums date it as like late 90s, early 2000s power pop.
Yeah.
It's very much of the time in that section. And I got to say, this did not impress me. This album did not win me over. I'm just going to say that off the top. In the past, I've compared him to Cheap Trick. I've realized after hearing this that wasn't really accurate. Cheap Trick did influence him, as they've influenced every power pop band. They're the kings of power pop. But this is really, to me, the whole album. Well, most of the album. There are exceptions, but on the whole, it squeezed me to early Joe Jackson.
I was thinking he was maybe more of a. I was actually thinking more Pretenders.
Interesting. I don't really hear Pretenders.
But, I mean, there's a very early 80s thing about him. I don't know why that is still. And I mean, it's a very strange thing to have on him since he was so big in the punk scene, but he's very of the early 80s.
And there are punk touches. There's a little influence here. Another ongoing criticism I'm going to have, it's very repetitive, the individual songs. He likes to find a groove and stick to it.
Right, and then get out. For this one, though, it's different for the first track, at least. You have that violin, that re-violin kind of solo.
Atmospheric beginning.
And then, this is more towards the middle. Sort of the violin
solo. Well, the thing is, there's an atmospheric section, then he finds a groove, and he stays in it for, like, the B section doesn't show up till 220.
Right.
But it changes, finally.
And then
the violins are a nice touch.
And then it takes you a second to figure out that after the violin solo, that it's still not the violin solo, but it's now a guitar solo. But then I'm thinking maybe there's violins playing with the guitar at the same time.
Okay, I didn't
know. The way they interplay. Yes. Yeah, he starts ripping into this guitar. It becomes very apparently a guitar solo as he rips into it a bit more. But then I think he's kind of playing with the violins at the same time, which is.
And cool. I will say, I do like his lead guitar style. It's very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And I like how it, you know, once the vocals came back in, the strings were still there, even though it got very aggressive. And then it does get nicely chaotic at the end, even though the repetitive verse starts up again. There's some lead guitar and some more violins, and it just kind of, it's nicely messy. And then the space sounds at the end were a great touch, I thought.
Right. You're just back at the sea, the open sea. He likes to write a lot about his traveling experiences,
okay.
And keeping, and even just taking the mundane. And for this album, and I've seen him do this album live, but a lot of this album is just about distance. You know, it's about being with somebody, but not really being with somebody, which of course leads us into the next song.
And that leads to track two, Parallel or Together. This really, it was very much in the same vein, late 90s, early 2000s power pop. I did think it was interesting to get kind of a hardcore beat with like this doubled shoegazer vocal.
It's a very Celtic. This one's probably one of the most Celtic on the, and he does work this Celtic sound into his whole catalog. It just kind of sneaks in and pops up in places that you might not expect it necessarily. But this is definitely one of them where it was just like, okay, where's the bagpipes? But I mean, it's not like Flogging Molly. It's not that obvious or stereotypical, you know, the fighting and the.
There's some triplets on the guitar. There's like a quick rhythm guitar playing with the hardcore drums.
Right.
Acoustic rhythm guitar playing kind of a triplet thing. The vocal melody was completely squeezed to me.
Nothing wrong with squeeze.
Well, that's the thing that's confusing me here, because like I said, most of it is Joe Jackson meets squeeze. Love Joe Jackson, like squeeze. This just didn't land for me. Though I did like the frenetic lead guitar in the last verse. Pretty much any of the guitar solos I enjoyed, I was in for.
He keeps the rhythm in this one without a break, but yet. I mean, it sort of feels to get even more frantic towards the end.
Yeah, he does build it nicely, and I think it speeds up a little bit. All right, so on to track three, Under the Hedge. Like the opening guitar riff.
Oh, yeah.
Although the kind of picked arpeggio guitar riff during the chorus, you know, the part where it actually says the title, sounds a lot like There She Goes.
I hadn't picked up on that.
It reminds me a lot of There She Goes. I mean, it's not exactly the same piece or the same chords, but it's very reminiscent of it.
The vocals are so small against the music, though. I mean, yeah, I kind of wonder, you know, is this a child? Is this an animal that he's singing about? Mm-hmm. Or just a dude that doesn't get it, you know?
I didn't, like you said with Marion Call last week, I didn't really pick up on a lot of the vocals because I hadn't heard it before.
And then the drums.
Oh, I should say lyrics.
The drums are pretty damn close to either. I don't know if you want to get like Phil Collins or Bonham. I mean, the end is, it's very like Achilles' Last Stand at a lot of times in this one.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't really think of that. And then of course he brings this great intense guitar riff back at the end.
Right, and that's where those drums are really kicking in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It gets really big there, yeah. On to track four, Dial Up.
Dial Up, this one, you get a little bit of a reggae accent creeping in there. Like in the middle of the funk.
Another vocal melody that's very squeezed. In fact, he sounds a lot like Glenn Tilbrook on this one. I did like the really fast hi-hat along with this sort of, you know, mellow groove,
right? The mellow groove is the
in the middle with
unexpected
the
unexpected reggae. Yeah,
down, the bass is nice. I really like the bass there. It gets a little repetitive at the ending for me. Again, that's going to be an ongoing criticism. That's really all I have about it.
So, yeah, about someone being forced out. Maybe they'll be able to revisit. Maybe not, you know.
On to track five, Timorous Me. Interesting word.
I love Ted Leo's
riffs. This song is very 70s. From that opening riff, it's just pure 70s. Could have been a Van Morrison or a Southside Johnny song.
I love how he's Van Morrison. Not afraid to have just a stripped down song. Yeah. Like he's not afraid to just, you know, no drums, just
I liked how for the first half it was just three guitars.
It's just him and guitars. He does that to this day, you know, where he's not afraid of boring somebody or losing someone that way.
In fact, I was a bit disappointed when the drums came in.
Well, right, and it's kind of not expected, honestly. You just think he's doing a straight up ballad, and then all of a sudden, wait, the band's here. Wait, what?
And I liked how there was this riff at the end that was just kind of repeating and doubled and then tripled. Went on a little too long, but, you know.
The melody is very much the Boys Are Back in Town.
Yeah, it's Van Morrison, Southside Johnny, Boys Are Back in Town. It's right up that in that same vein. On to track six, Stove by a Well. A real departure on this one. It starts with this huge kind of stoner rock riff. That was really interesting. When he got a little high in the vocal range, that kind of irritated me a little bit. He's got a fairly shrill voice.
He does a lot of vocal stylings, I think, very similar to Peter Gabriel, actually.
Yeah, I can hear that.
I've always thought of, like, if Peter Gabriel started a punk band, this is probably what it would have sounded like.
Well, I wouldn't call this punk.
No.
This is power pop. He leans into punk, but here and there, but it's not. I love his lead guitar style, and the instrumental second half of the song is really interesting.
The second half is
instrumental.
Right, I remember when I told you that Nazarene was his first try at Prague, and then I'm sitting here thinking, oh yeah, you know, I hadn't noticed that this the other half of the song is just 4 minutes of kind of an atmospheric instrumental.
On to track seven, The Great Communicator. Opens with a very Beatles-esque riff.
Yes. Kind of like, trying to think of...
Remind me a little,
the
Day
Birds.
Birds in there. It's probably a Wreck or a Gretsch.
That's Rickenbacker. The Birds. It's weird because, I mean, The Great Communicator was Reagan's nickname, which I think is very odd. And I'm not sure if that was a coincidence. He's, you know, referring to himself as the great, what he once was, the great communicator. So
my only comment on the lyrics, I liked the line, it's the sonics, not the phonics, and it's all in the delivery. Love the words, very Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
I keep saying it. I'm just going to stop saying it. It gets repetitive at the ending.
I think this one, you could take a very Police vibe to it, because I mean he uses a little bit of reggae again as an accent, and it's a bit more punkish, but I would say which of course when you put those two together in equation you get the Police.
Or you get ska.
Yeah, that's true, you could get ska.
On to track eight, Squeaky Fingers. I like all of the instrumental sections of this song. All the, you know, periodically through the vocals, there's this guitar riff that comes in and little breaks. I like the harmonized guitars in the middle.
As he frequently must say when he's writing a song, who needs a chorus? Because there ain't no fucking chorus here.
No, it's a vocal melody, and then it breaks through this little guitar riff, and then the vocal melody comes back, and it breaks again. And then there's this big guitar solo in the middle. The vocal, the melody, and the hand claps on the last verse remind me a bit of Saturday Night. Bay City Rollers.
Bay City Rollers. I just never.
Maybe it's just the hand claps bring that to mind. I don't know. And it is a very poppy melody. So, okay, now track nine, you're going to have to help me with. How the hell do you pronounce this?
I thought it was my Van Halen.
Okay. I anything better.
That's why I assumed it would, I always assumed it would be.
And on Wikipedia, the Y in my is a yen symbol.
Oh.
I don't know if that's, I'm on Spotify, it's a Y. Maybe it's just a typo on Wikipedia.
I may have seen it like that before. I mean, this it's a long time since I've seen this written out.
I liked the really kind of compressed and flanged guitar on the left at the beginning. That's a really surprising way to open the song.
Yeah, and yeah, he even brings that back at the end, you know, that opening.
And this vocal melody is very Joe Jackson.
Yes, without doubt. And it's very straightforward, of course. You know, just, you know, looking back at teen angst and growing up and burying your emotions. And
Joe Jackson theme, too. Yeah.
And then that abrupt bursting of the guitar, kind of when you just had enough.
Yeah. And I like where it just got really loud about two-thirds of the way through.
Right.
And there's this nice instrumental section at the end.
And yeah, it just ends with one last little burst.
On to track 10, The Goldfinch and the Red Oak Tree. Almost as long a title as the band name. This was a nice change of pace. It's acoustic.
Oh, yeah.
Has a really nice melody. The strings are a bit derivative. It's sort of this, you know, dust in the wind kind of string thing going
true.
On.
True. But just a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice song. It's just, it would have been really my favorite, except that the violin part was just a little derivative. It is mercifully short. The shortest song on the album.
Yeah.
Track 11, St. John and the Divine. Again, nice effect on the guitar. It's a nice little delay, really atmospheric.
Yeah.
Liked the groove. Guitar part between the verses, again, I liked. I think this actually is my favorite, aside from the repetition. Like you said, who needs a chorus? It was briefly interrupted here and there by this like two-note guitar riff.
Right.
But then, of course, it came back. There's finally another section like two-thirds of the way through the song.
I'm not sure which one I'd pick as my favorite on this, actually. I mean, this is a really... It's a really packed album of really great songs. Yeah, I mean, if you like songwriting, trying to think. We picked these because I the system I used was how many songs I had starred on my Spotify list, and this album had the most. I mean, it wasn't the first album I was introduced to Ted Leo. That would be Hearts of Oak, which I'm going to see him perform live in a couple weeks, actually. But let me see what I had started, because so I can make my pick. Because actually, the last one on it would say, you know, You Could Die, would actually probably be probably my weakest link of the album.
Real quick, before we get to that song, I really like the explosive solo at the end, and it ends very suddenly.
Yes.
St. John and Divine. It just gives this kind of weird change in the music and just a sudden ending. On to track 12, You Could Die or This Might End. I barely got through this song.
That was so brief, which is why I think it's the weakest of the album.
And it's just
it's kind of a fragment.
And it's just everything is shrill. It's just guitar and vocal, and the guitar sound is shrill, and the guitar vocal is shrill. There's no bass or other guitars to balance it out.
Yeah, it's just him. Like, again, he just stripped it down and just went with that. But yeah, it's pretty much a fragment.
Mm-hmm. There's a term a phrase I coined to describe my feelings about this album that I actually ended up using in a poem today. I'm doing this month-long daily poem challenge. Emphatically apathetic.
Really?
It's just the embodiment of meh to me.
Wow.
And I think it's because I already listened to Squeeze and Joe Jackson.
Well, yeah, so have I, but this is, I mean, I think he's taking it for his own, definitely.
I don't know. I just didn't connect with it for whatever reason. I've given him other tries, because I know you're a big fan. I've tried to listen to him other times, and it just doesn't connect with me. I can't recommend it, especially after that last song.
I'd say either my favorite would either be I'd probably go with Under the Hedge, actually. Mm-hmm. It's just probably one of the best. I mean, it's tough to say that or either Goldfinch. But yeah, of course, I'd recommend of this. Brilliant fucking songwriting.
And that's it for The Journey of Distance by Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. Please give this video a like if you enjoyed it. Subscribe if you haven't. There in the description, you'll find, as I said, links to the album on Spotify and YouTube, as well as our links. Until next time, and we'll be reviewing Actor by St. Vincent is the one I think you settled on.
I think so, yeah.
It's definitely St. Vincent. At this point, it's Actor. Of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.